these countries already have defense attaches, so they have military representation already. And those attaches have a mandate to explore opportunities for bilateral and multilateral military engagement. So that is to be expected. And whether or not that grows or not is up for debate, and we'll wait and see. But my sense is there's a strong incentive for China to do more, and there is, to a certain extent, an incentive for countries like East Timor and Papua New Guinea to be more receptive to that. It gives them some leverage, particularly with countries like Australia, who are, you know, perhaps a little bit anxious about what the implications are from that engagement.
And do you think Australia should be anxious about that particular engagement? Should Australia be planning for it and doing everything it can to head off Chinese assets ending up in those places?
I think trying to head off Chinese engagement would be futile. I think the best approach is to actually see this as an opportunity rather than as a crisis. This presents opportunities for Australia to engage with China and engage with those third parties in East Timor and places like Papua New Guinea that can actually be quite constructive. And, you know, there is we don't know what the future holds. There is no set path that is leading us to war with China. That kind of thinking is a very toxic, corrosive mindset that is unhelpful. And in diplomacy, in international engagement, words really matter. So you have to be careful about projecting circumstantial evidence and hypothetical scenarios into planning, because that can generate its own momentum, and it's very important to be circumspect in doing that. So by all means, I mean, planners will plan for the sky falling. You know, their job is to look at worst-case possible scenarios, as unlikely as they may be, and to consider the implications of those. And I've been involved in those in the past in my previous occupations. But you would expect that of government. You would expect that of militaries to do that kind of thinking. If they're not doing that, then they're not acting as the insurance policy, which in effect, in the bottom line, is their function for the state. So that's a totally reasonable thing for them to do. To extrapolate from that extreme contingency planning some kind of dark interpretation of the most likely future is unhelpful and, in my view, invalid.
But does it suggest that Australia, America, other countries with an interest in this need to step up their diplomatic efforts, perhaps need to increase their aid budgets to the Pacific and so on, in order to balance out the Chinese investment in this region?
I have been arguing for some time, Bill, that Australia needs to focus more on its own neighbourhood. We have made commitments to the Middle East, to Iraq and Afghanistan, stemming back 15 years or more now, from a period when our neighbourhood was remarkably tranquil, remarkably unchallenged. We now live in an era where our environment, our neighbourhood, is far less tranquil. And it's not just about great power rivalry. It's about terrorism. It's about environmental challenges. It's about a whole range of security challenges, people trafficking, drug smuggling, that are adding to the complexity and the instability of Australia's own neighbourhood. And this is something which Australia needs to invest much more in the future if we are to guarantee our future security and prosperity.
If you were very cynical about that, though, you might, from a Pacific Island nation point of view, see it as a pretty big opportunity to leverage, you know, a lot of development money out of Australia and others and China as well by playing one off against the other.
That is an important factor, no question. Those states have an interest, a vested interest in getting the most out of what Australia and China and other countries are prepared to offer. So painting their circumstances in as bleak a light as possible is, you know, in a cynical way, could be seen as a useful endeavour. But there, I think, are some other factors here which I think most people are starting to come to terms with, and that is that, you know, the island, many of the micro-states in the Pacific are facing a very uncertain future, and that Australia really is obliged, as the middle power that is the most significant state in the region, to rise to the occasion, to do the noble and generous thing, and to look creatively to engage with these microstates and find ways out for them. And that may well involve a number of measures, not only in terms of enabling them to survive in extreme weather events and sea level rise and things like that, but also increasingly provide them opportunities in Australia, in and with Australia. That's, I think, the noble and right thing for Australia to be thinking about. Some people will rail against that, but this is our patch. No one else is able to or in a position to do much about it. We have, I believe, a moral obligation to do something about it. And in doing so, I believe it will give us greater leverage over events and circumstances in our neighbourhood. And in doing so, will help bolster security and stability, which goes hand in hand with prosperity.